Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pitcher's Eye with Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks manager Michael Schlacht. Pitcher's Eye is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Fargo-Moorhead manager questions about the Redhawks, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Michael's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, Michael talks to us about the quick start of his team this season. He discusses the challenges of fielding a ground ball as a pitcher. And what is Michael's favorite Paw Patrol character? Let's find out on Pitcher's Eye. So let's welcome back manager Michael Schlacht. Michael, do you have any team updates for us?
Yeah, actually today we signed a first baseman, third baseman named Michael Almanzar. He's got 11 or 12 years of experience, both in affiliated ball with a number of teams and also winter ball in the Dominican. So we're looking forward to adding another big bat to the lineup and continuing to do what we can to stay in the race and, make a push in this tough Northern Division.
Well, you started out 6-4 this season. So what are your thoughts about the team's performance at this point?
You know, the four losses are, you're going to win games and you're going to lose games. The four losses were tough ones, Some of them weren't really that close, and a couple of them we should have won. So, hindsight, you can always look and say, man, if we would have done this or that or whatever it was, we could be 8 and whatever. It's easy to do that. But the thing that I love about this group is that they're not worried about yesterday. We do what we can every day, and we fight hard and we battle and we grind, and it's a resilient bunch. And so you look at that 6-4 and you look at where the rest of the North is, and we're happy with where we are, but we're definitely not complacent by any means, and we're not going to try to coast. We're going to keep the gas pedal down, so to speak, as long as we can. So I'm excited about the group we have, and I'm looking forward to seeing, what kind of special run we can go on here.
Your offense has really looked good so far this season. I would assume you have to be really happy about the performance of your hitters to this point.
Yeah, the guys that we brought in expecting really good things out of have done that so far for the most part. And then we've gotten some things, some really special things from guys we weren't really sure what we were going to get. And that's been really cool to see. It's everybody picking everybody up. And, if you were to kind of come hang around our clubhouse on a day-to-day basis, you would see essentially a brotherhood. That's what I love about these guys. They're family, and they all get along, and they're fighting for each other. So it's been neat to see. Guys are picking guys up, and the ones that are leading are leading, and the other ones are following suit. So it's been a good first 10 games, But there's definitely things that we need to work on, and myself and the staff are addressing those things as we roll, and the guys are real receptive to it. So that helps when you have a coachable group, especially like we do. It makes adjustments both able to be done and also well received. So that's good.
Well, let's head to fan questions. We first start with a couple from Tyler. He says, I read that Rob predicted you were going to be in the championship series this season. Do you think he jinxed you?
There's a lot of superstitions in baseball. There always have been. Some guys put on the same socks, one, each leg at a time, and there's a lot of different ones. I personally never have believed in superstitions or jinxes, so I'm going to go ahead and say, while I appreciate what you said, Rob, and your prediction, we realize how hard that actually is. So rather than worrying about a jinx or a superstition, we're just going to try to battle every single night and see where it takes us.
Tyler would also like to know, he says, are you the kind of person who likes high expectations on your team to see if you can live up to them, or do you prefer to come from out of nowhere?
Well, I like a good mix. Anytime that you can come out of nowhere, obviously that's a good thing. But I also like high expectations. I like everyone on staff and on the club to understand what is to be expected. And that, especially here in Fargo-Moorhead, excellence is expected. And so when you show up, you take pride in the uniform that you're putting on. You work hard to represent the team and the community. And, those are some of the expectations that we have. But at the same time, coming out of nowhere is good, maybe flying under the radar here. So if you can have a little mix of both, which I think we do, I'm excited for that.
Ethan asks, he says, when I see baseball players being paid $30 million a year, I don't get it. I don't really think one player makes that much of a difference. What about you?
Well, it's hard to argue that Mike Trout doesn't make that much of a difference. You know, I think he makes that much of a difference. And you're starting to see some sabermetric stats, you know, and different things that are kind of putting a title on some players that might have a definite effect on games. And so there are your elite players that can swing a game one way or the other. I think consistently over the course of a season, it does take the entire roster. So I understand where he's coming from on that. $30 million is a lot of money. That's a lot of money to pay one player. So you got to make sure that it's a special one. So I do see a little bit of both. I think you need the superstar. I think you need somebody that's willing to put the team on their back and run, but you also need every guy from the best one all the way to the last guy on the roster as well to do the little things right day by day to win a championship.
Rick would like to know if you'll be offering camps to help teach young kids to get better.
I enjoy doing that kind of stuff in the off season at home in Georgia and giving lessons and all those type of things. You know, for a couple different reasons. Number one, I enjoy, you know, working with kids and helping them improve in baseball because this is a game that we all love. And if we can, you know, share that love and if we can teach kids how to play the right way, you know, we can do a lot of good because there's a lot of lessons in baseball that teach you about life too. Teamwork you know, overcoming adversity and dealing with authority. And there's so many things that this game teaches. You know, in regards to while the season's going on in Fargo-Moorhead, it's tough at times given our schedule, but the Red Hawks do a really good job with like the Maury Wills Not Whole Gang. Maury Wills is a big part of the Red Hawks organization and he puts on a camp. We do lots of camps, throughout the summer that are set up for kids and people in the community. So, you know, a little bit of both. I'll definitely stick my head in those and help out if they need me to. But at the same time, I enjoy doing that in the off season as well.
Drake says, my son is interested in playing baseball, but I am not very athletic. Do you have tips on helping me to be able to help him when I don't really have much skills myself?
Well, that's a good question. And a lot of times, you know, if it's financially feasible, you know, that's a good opportunity for you to find a good private instructor. You know, or get in a place where you know the coach is good and the kids are going to learn a lot. And I think, you know, like, for instance, growing up, you know, my dad would tell you as well, he wasn't always the best baseball player. You know, he played basketball, he did some other things, but, you know, he did what he could and he learned as much as he could and he read books and he was a student of the game, even as my dad, to try to put me in the best position possible. But at the same time, he recognized at a certain point, okay, I've done what I can on my own. Now I got to get Michael West or, you know, put him on a team where he's going to learn and grow. And it kind of, you know, at times I guess it was hard because, you know, I enjoyed him coaching me and he enjoyed it. He enjoyed helping me, but, you know, it came down to, you know, that I needed to learn how to take instruction from other people. And if I wanted to take baseball seriously and grow as a player and a person, you know, it was time to take that next step and sort of leave the nest, so to speak.
Lee says, when I watch games, it seems that the toughest play for a pitcher is that kind of slow roller just to his right. Is that just me who sees it that way, or is there something to that?
No, there's something to it. I mean, there's a couple different factors that go into that ball to the pitcher's right. Also to the pitcher's left, you know, there's those in-between, you know, bounce little slow rollers we call tweeners, and then there's the bunts to the right, the slow rollers. You know, whether you're righty or lefty, you know, it can be tough. And what makes it hard is that you have, depending on what the play is, let's say there's nobody on, you know, you have to put your feet in a good position to both field the ball and make a good throw, all while the runner's barreling down to first base, and then you're worrying about accuracy. So there's a lot of factors that go into that play. And at the same time, as a pitcher, you've just delivered the pitch, and so you're on the mound, and then you're trying to react to what happened. There's a lot of different factors. But that's why we do PFP, pitcher fielding practice. That's why we do these things and put these guys in a good position to be successful when that play does happen.
Stan would like to know, he says, Verlander is really being something else, has really been something else since he came to Houston. He had kind of had become kind of mediocre in Detroit. So how does he reach elite status again?
You know what's funny about that? Sometimes pitchers will get a change of scenery and they blossom. Sometimes it's the pitching coach. Sometimes it's the city. Sometimes it's who knows. I mean, there's a number of things that go into the success of a pitcher. Verlander has been special from the day he was drafted. We were in the same draft in 2004, and he's always been a special arm. And so there's a number of reasons that someone could go up and down. There's ebbs and flows, you know, how much he's been pitching, you know, all sorts of different things. And so, you know, I think he's in a place now where obviously winning a championship last year, he's got that confidence, he's got that swagger back, but at the same time, you know, I would venture to guess he probably has a great relationship with his catcher, with his players, with his pitching coach, that kind of thing, to where, you know, he's clicking on all cylinders because of his personal situation in Houston.
We end with a couple of questions from Dan. The first one is, do you find it as disturbing as I do that there are no shows on television that show good dads?
There's a few out there, but, you know, more than just that, I find a lot of what's on TV disturbing, to be honest with you. And so we try not to turn it on very often. You know, it just, I don't know. There's just a lot of things out there, and you wonder why they even put that on TV. And I certainly don't want my kids seeing it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really need to watch it either. So we just kind of leave the TV off unless we're watching kid shows.
Speaking of kid shows, Dan closed with two young boys. I'm just wondering how much Paw Patrol you've watched already.
Yeah. So the birthday this year for my son Sawyer, his 3-year-old birthday, with a Paw Patrol cake and decorations. So that answers your question. Also, could I sing the entire theme song for the Paw Patrol show? Yes. Will I? Absolutely not. But yeah, we there's a lot of Paw Patrol at our house. We enjoy that, you know, and we don't, you know, we put a limit on the amount of TV shows that he can watch. We want him to be outside and playing and all that. But, you know, he knows that he'll get a show a day pretty much or two, depending on the day. And it's usually when he gets to choose, it's Paw Patrol for sure. So it's a good show. I enjoy it. I was joking with my wife, but I wasn't really joking. I was flipping through TV on our last road trip and flipped through Nickelodeon and Paw Patrol was on, and I caught myself watching about 10 minutes of it just because it was habit, I guess. Or maybe because I like the show. I'll never tell.
Yeah, I watch with my grandson too. So favorite character?
Well, I don't know. At my house, I'm Rubble, which is the little, you know, that's the bulldog that does the digging and stuff. That's what my son is calling me. He's Marshall, the fire one. You know, and then there's Chase. And I don't know. They're all good. You know, and see, now you got me talking about it like I was. Well, you know, okay, I do watch it all the time. I'm a fan.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Michael.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We want to thank manager Michael Schlack for joining us on Pitcher's Eye this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Fargo Moorhead Redhawks manager, please send them to us at askmichael@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's askmichael@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the skipper a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Pitcher's Eye.